And don't you think as he begins to climb, he's going to feel some fear?
Yes.
And as he reaches the surface, he looks and he sees the sky, some clouds, the trees, and all that nature has to offer. Don't you think he would now be in a state of awe?
Yes.
Do you think now that what he once thought was real is not necessarily real, that maybe there was something beyond the light? That in other words, the way he was living and the results that he was getting or that he has, that suddenly now he realizes there is something more he could possibly do?
Yes.
And as he begins to walk around, he comes to a little lake. And he looks in and he sees an image and he begins to run from the image. Wasn't he looking at an image of
self?
And as he backtracks, he stands at the den and he can hear the prisoners yell, "Return, we'll offer you rewards to tell us what you found beyond the den." Do you think he'd care for such honors? And if he did go down and tell them what he found, do you think they would believe him? And if he did go back down and he walked up, wouldn't they say, "Ah, you see, up he went, down he came. Isn't it better not to ascend at all?" You see, the real danger is you will never get from the underground den or escape from a prison unless you recognize you're in one. And many of us are like prisoners living in an underground den. And the moment that we begin to attempt to even see ourselves as we would rather, or as we could, or as we want to be, keep in mind, we are forever going to be pulled, grabbed, held onto as a hostage by the prisoners in the underground den. By the prisoners in an underground den. Something quickly that I had on here and it's disappeared. Way over in Africa, they take a little beast when it's brand new. It's called an elephant. And they take this little elephant, they put a chain around its leg. And they take this 3-foot chain and they put it on a little stake and they put it in the ground. And you know, for days and days, this little guy, he begins to pull and pull against the stake and chain, but he's too weak at that time to dislodge it. He tries and he tries and he tries for days and days and days, but soon he gives up because he's too weak to pull the chain. Do you know, folks, years and years later, when this beast is fully grown, capable of pulling loaded railway cars, capable of pulling 10 times its own weight, at the end of a working day, they will take him, put the chain around his ankle, put it on that little 3-foot chain onto the stake in the ground. Something that he could pull out at a moment's notice. But he continues to hang on to that chain. He will not move. The only thing that might move the elephant is fire. He will actually stay until he starves to death. What is really holding the elephant? Conditioning? Well, you see, an elephant doesn't have a self-image. But here's the most interesting thing you can learn from what Bob is going to take you through. There isn't a person in this room that was born with a self-image. I think that in that book, one of the, I guess you could say, the greatest point of awareness, that when I read this, was one thing, that I wasn't born with a self-image. But nobody that I've ever met can explain how to alter it like Proctor can. Like Proctor can. So at the very top of this page, which is page 21, the ideas contained in this chapter could very well be the breakthrough for you, because image making, once we get a firm grip on it, is a truly dynamic idea. Now, believe me, I want to emphasize this. I don't know any one lesson or any half hour or 20